Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Dennis Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm calling from the U.S. My name is Noel, pretty known activist. I listen to Brass Tacks weekly, and I'm very deeply concerned about the guns that I keep hearing we have in Barbados coming in from somewhere. And somehow it seems that no one is getting caught with all of these senseless killings. I'm not sure of the law, but if the law is workable, can the government of Barbados also charge the parents of these thugs, sorry to call them that, that walking around shooting up innocent people in Barbados, decorate their houses and their cars, and then they get some justice in Barbados? Because I'm the father of daughters, and we travel a lot to Barbados. And I'm not scared, really, but it's just becoming senseless, you know, that these people are still walking around Barbados, and none of them is getting caught because somebody knows who and where these guns are being kept. So let's start charging those that know and those that have an idea of who having these guns, et cetera, because it's becoming frustrating. The Barbados community up here is mad that we are not doing enough. We're just talking about it, you know, and we keep hearing it over and over. Sorry to be so frustrated, but, you know, I love my Barbados, and a lot of people love Barbados, but it's becoming a problem. We need to bring back the Caroline Tail and the hangman to send a message to Barbados. I mean, the innocent tourists died, you know, because of some stupidity. It's illegal to have guns in Barbados, period. And if you find anybody with a gun, take away the houses, the cars, and their families that know who is these people that are having these guns. Okay? Okay, that's, I get it off my chest. Number two, I'm in Virginia. Up here, we're taking away all of these statues. I need to know some more information about Lord Nelson. I really keep Lord Nelson in Barbados. Around the world, all these statues are coming down. Let's put up a Barbadian in Bridgetown and have Barbados become Barbados. Mr. Johnson, I want to thank you for getting that off my chest today because, you know, Barbados is small and we need to get it together.
I thank you, sir, for taking the time to call us and to get that off your chest. Changing the laws to include family members and those who live off the proceeds of crime, that's the Proceeds of Crime Act has been passed. I think the challenge for the police in Barbados is getting people to come forward and to see what they know. You have numbers, 1-800 numbers. You have Crime Stoppers. The charge, the fine, and the sentence for having guns and ammunition, that has been increased over the years. The unfortunate thing about this is most of the guns originally linked to the drug trade. You've had allegations that that's why the proliferation of guns, people were protecting their turf, but it seems to have gone wider, and you keep getting these stories that people say they found a gun here and they found a gun there, and they're walking through a track and they found a gun, and those stories sound a little stretched, but, you know, or a man named some strange alias sell them a gun. And, you know, the links, people not talking because they know what's going to happen when they talk. So it's coming up with a system that makes it possible for people to talk. But in societies as small as ours, witness protection plans and things that could work in places like the U.S. where you stay, we could send a man in another state and change his name and he'd be all right. If you move a man from Belle Plaine in St. Andrew to Maxwell Terrace in Christchurch, he ain't going very far. You know, somebody somewhere will say something. Even safe houses get known and identified, and you're going to move people again. So it may be a little bit more difficult for us to take that kind of action, but understand your concern. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, John. Good morning, listeners. Greetings to you all. Let me first say a word of comfort to or rather Gabby, Honorable Gabby Anthony, Gabby Carter.
Yeah.
And it's found at Revelation 21, verse 4. And it says there, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death will be no more. Neither pain, nor crying, nor mourning will be no more. These things have passed, will pass away. That is for Gabriel, our Honorable Gabriel, and all those who lost loved ones in death. Now, my contribution is kind of related to that, to understand. Mm-hmm. We live at a time, or from time to time, I would say, I hear people say that religion is confusing. You see, everybody got their own religion. I start to say that it's true, in a sense. They have a topic, though, that is here with us in 2020 that is causing some confusion that was also happening in Jesus' day, and that is concerning the identity of Christ, of Jesus. Jesus arguably was the most historical, influential figure that walked the earth. Many people believe in Jesus, but the believing in Jesus was not the challenge. The challenge was understanding who this man is or what. At Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, we can hear on a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. And he asked them a question. It says there, Jesus asked his disciples, who are men saying the Son of Man is? They said, some said John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. These are people who knew Jesus. They saw Jesus, but yet they did not understand who he really was. Jesus asked his disciples a same question at verse 15. He said, you do, who do you say I am? Then Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living. Peter could have simply said, you are Jesus. Peter knew Jesus. Peter saw Jesus walk on water. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. But Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living. Those few words can lead to instant sight or understanding of who Jesus really is. You see, Peter understood the man Jesus, also understood his office. The Messiah, or the Christ, meaning the Messiah, is the instrument that Jehovah will use to bring relief to mankind from these challenges and problems we have today. Is nowhere there in that scripture that any of those persons say that Jesus is God, that he's equal to God, or that he and God is the same. And these are people who saw Jesus and walked with Jesus. So in conclusion, my friend, Jesus, in response at verse 70, Jesus said to him, happy are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in the heavens did. Nobody in witness theological schools or college coming back teaching a body book, the Trinity, and that Jesus is God. These men walk with Jesus, and this is the instrument that will bring relief and happiness to mankind. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you very much, sir. Brass Sacks, good morning.
Good morning. Is this Mr. Johnson?
It is, ma'am.
Yes, I'm a first-time caller.
It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. What I'm calling about, I need some help very badly. What I'm talking about, I had, on the 4th of February, I had my feet taken off. And I was calling from St. Mark's to get a ramp, please, built in front of my house. I called to National Housing, Country Road, and I asked them if I could get a ramp built in front of my door. She told me, you have to call, write a letter to the manager and describe why I want the ramp in front of my door. Mm-hmm. I just want to tell her, sorry to say this, but I tell her, I am not handstanding. I had one of my feet take off, and I want a ramp to get in and out the house. Because when I have my appointment to go to the hospital, the doctor, I have to sit down by my front door in my wheelchair, begging somebody to come and help me lift, in the car.
Get into
get
the car.
To the hospital, no?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get everybody have to wait. Sometimes my appointment passed, and I'm still there sitting.
This is a national housing unit?
Yes, please.
And they told you that you would have to write a letter saying why you need it?
Why I need a ramp. And that all sounds fair.
Well, I suppose they would need something for a file. I understand, you know, the way they do things, you need a file, a letter, so they could follow it up. But do you have anyone who could assist you with writing the letter?
Well, my children, they don't live here with me. They come and go, come and go.
Is there anyone else you could ask to help you with it? Because, look, I think they should at least, you know, respond to you in a more positive manner. In other words, send someone to look at it. If they go, follow it up with a letter, or the person themselves could say, look, I went, I checked. This is the house. This is the situation. This is where the ramp should go. Tell you what, leave some contact information with the producer. I'll try to pass the information on to either the disabilities unit or one of those agencies that could perhaps assist in getting the assistance that you need. Perhaps if they lean a little bit on the NHC, that you'll be able to get the assistance you require. Okay, thanks. Do that for me. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yeah, morning. Morning.
Hi.
Yeah, what I want to talk about, the posts, these posts that we put up all over the place, all over the Barbados, that the current run to your house, who in charge? The electric company? The government?
The Barbados Light and Power Company. So each of the poles have a number on it, and the Barbados Light and Power Company keeps track of the numbers and the poles.
Right, that is true. Now, for the longest time you could think about, I already contact them, the posts. At least it rotten all inside to fall down. And asking the people to come and take pictures. They even went up here working. Ain't know nothing to do with the posts. What you got to do now, Mr. Johnson? You know, they send people. They send a lady here and she come here and take pictures. She said, bad. All inside the middle. So that means if it right now had to come down, you never know, it could make trouble to the house. Burn the house. Then the government ain't can't help you. Nobody can't help you. It would be. What you got to do now?
You say they came and they checked?
Yeah, they came. Yeah, they send
Light and Power?
A lady here. She take pictures and everything. She take it in. She just said, call you back and all that. And nothing happened right now. Nothing. I said, a gentleman up here, he was a boss. He told me he would come and look at it. But he didn't get here. He and the crowd them been working. And nothing happened up to now.
Which area is this, sir?
This is Bright City, St. Joseph. And the pole bad. I figure the pole too close to the house. That even if you can put down another one, you should put it a little distance off the house. It got the room for that. And nobody come. I can't understand what you got to do. What you got to do in Barbados now to get things right?
Sir, as I said to you, if you call them and they have the pole number, they usually respond.
Yeah, they have the pole number and everything they have.
Can't say
and
why.
And nobody come in. And I believe there's more people like this too. And that kind of situation and nothing they're doing at all. I've been getting to a place that I don't even understand what's really going on. You ain't getting any things to do. Although every day you got to pay, let your money, light and power. Every day you got to think that you're going to get cut off. I don't know. We're wrong, man. I just
hopefully,
don't
sir, they have people who monitor the program, and hopefully they've heard your plea, and they can track the times you made the complaint, the poll number, and it says Bragg's Hill and St. Joseph. So they should be able to track it up. Hopefully they'll get cracking on it, so perhaps...
I hope so. so, man. This is a problem. Every time you look at your feet, saying what happened.
Yeah, that okay. It would scare you. All right, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
My chest is burning me today. Because, especially listening to Gabby this morning, it reinforces some of the things which I'm thinking about and some of the things which I wanted to speak about. What happened last week with the march, with the protests in Barbados, to me, was a national disgrace. It was an international embarrassment. Okay? I want you to ask me a question, to answer this question for me. Mm-hmm. If we had been sitting down on TV, watching our TVs, and seen on CNN a town in the United States where the police stopped the protesters because there were more than 10 people protesting, what would we be thinking of that town and that police department? What would we be saying about that?
Interesting question. I don't know. What would we say?
No, what do you think?
No, trust me. I have refused.
I
don't do it.
But Mr. Johnson, what I'm telling you, right, mm-hmm. is that you don't want to talk about yourself.
No,
I can talk about me.
Right.
Because me sitting down, watching that happen, automatically, I would be saying, that is what I would expect to see in the States, the suppression of the people's voices. And that is exactly what happened here in Barbados. Okay? Now, one of the things that had me so incensed over the last couple of days, and is the conversation which you have been having with Mr. Nasser. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Nasser coming on this program with regularity to speak about his experiences with white people and the oppression that white people have done to black people and that sort of thing. I want Mr. Nasser to know something. Black Lives Matter. And it is black people that are killing black people in Barbados. Okay? White people kill black people for centuries, yes. But right now, today, black people are killing black people in this country. I do not care what color a person is with respect to what is being done to you. I do not care what color the man that is standing on my neck is. I care about the fact that he's standing on my neck. And that is what this protest is about. There are many people who will protest because they identify with the gentleman that died, George Floyd. And there are many people who are going to protest in support of that. But what we are seeing around the world is not just about George Floyd. All those white people that you're seeing marching in Australia, in all across the world, they are not just marching about George Floyd. It is about power and who has the power. White people traditionally have had the power. And those people, and they're marching in the States, in cases, against those white people who have had the power there. But in Barbados, black people have the power. So therefore, the protest that needs to be done is against what is happening here. And I have spoken, you hear of me all the time coming on this program, and I speak about the failures of government. Not the failures of successive administrations to deal with the rot that is happening in this country. And has been it didn't just happen yesterday or the day before or even 5 years ago or even 10 years ago. It has been continuing and continuing and continuing. And government after government after government has done nothing about it. When I was a child, I remember I used to be able to go anywhere in Barbados. I would freely go anywhere in Barbados without a thought. At any time, I would go in any place. I would be regaled with stories about people who leave the doors open when they leave home. And the only reason somebody would go to that door when they're not home is to close it in case the rain come in. You cannot do that in Barbados now. And people are not seeing the rot that is happening. I go to the hospital. I go to the hospital twice a week. And every time, when I see what has started across Barbados, it started with the Roman Catholic Church I used to go to, a barbed wire fence getting put up. Now we go to the hospital, and there was a fence. Now you have to go through a security checkpoint, not because of COVID, but because you have people coming into the hospital to threaten violence, to shoot somebody or whatever. And instead of us fighting, and instead of our government dealing with this situation, and just saying enough is enough is enough, and getting the job done to deal with these people, what happens? Oh, we say, oh, well, you know, we are planning to do something about it. Or we have things in the works, but we can't discuss it because it's a national security issue or whatever. Or we can't have hanging. We can't bring back hanging because the council or whatever said that, you know, that's not good anymore. More and more guns are flooding into this country. Barbados is 166 square miles. And you are telling me that we cannot find out where these guns are coming from and cover the borders? This is what you're telling me? It was important for us to get 300 nurses from Africa. And it was all conversation about we bring in 300 nurses from Africa. Yet every day you hear the fact that the police service can't find people, that they caught so many hundreds of vacancies in the police force. You're telling me that we can't look across the world to find 300 police to bring in?
Perhaps
is this what you're telling me?
Perhaps the screening is a little more difficult for a police officer than
No,
Mr.
Johnson,
know.
Don't tell me that. I lived in Bermuda, and Bermuda has more Brazilian policemen than anything else.
So they have them in Grenada, they have them in the United States, too.
So don't tell me about this difficulty, Mr. Johnson.
Look, the reason why I said difficult, there's a reason why I use the term difficulty. How much is a police officer paid in
Bermuda?
Right, but so hold on. Yes, see, but police officers care about
Johnson,
their terms and conditions of service.
That is not the
don't forget, no, but hold on. I listen to you. Just give me a second, man, okay? The reason why I said that to you, sir, is because even if you look at the case of the nurses, they had to make sure that they gave them a compensation package that would encourage them to come, and which is why I say it may be more difficult for them to recruit. I don't know. The training school in Barbados have police officers coming to train from all over the world. So perhaps if we wanted to select the best of them and give them a good offer, who knows? They may prefer to be here than in their country of origin. If we can entice the police officers in Bermuda, in the United States, in Grenada, or wherever, to come back home for a better compensation package, maybe they will. I don't know what the offer is. I don't know what the screening process is either. Yes, sir.
That is not the point I'm dealing with. I do not care what it costs, because you know what I care about? What it has cost Barbados right now. People don't look at that, the aspect in terms of business. Businesses that used to operate at night, patrons that would go to restaurants at night, no longer do that. The decline in Barbados in terms of business is because of the crime situation. We have had, we've been under COVID, and so far, for how many people, let me hear the statistics, how many people have died in the last few days or weeks or what have you, under a situation of lockdown? Mr. Johnson, this is what the danger is in Barbados. This is the danger. COVID ain't do nothing to Barbados. COVID killed 7 people. How many people does come violence killing? And not killing death by the gun, by the bullet that shoots them. But how many people this gun violence killing because of the jobs that are lost? Mr. Johnson, one of the most important books that I was read, that I studied at school, that every child should study, is a book called Animal Farm. And in Animal Farm, the whole principle of it is that when the animals rose up and took over the farm and ran the farm as a democracy, they then elected representatives to do manage the affairs and that sort of thing. And at the end of the book, those representatives, or that one representative, Napoleon the Pig, was, you could not distinguish him between him and the farmer that ran the farm before. He had joined the farmer.
What was the moral of that book? What did you learn from that book?
Is that when you become the Napoleon, the pig, you then separate yourself from everybody. You forget where you come from. And then you put your knee on the neck of those people.
That's why I love the education process. You know the story, the moral I got from that book? Communism don't work.
Pardon me?
Communism don't work.
But Mr. Johnson, that's the whole thing. It is far bigger than that.
No, but what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is not...
It was written in that respect, yes.
Precisely.
Hold on. But the principle is, it started out of a democracy. So is it just that it didn't start out of communism, that the animals rose up and killed the farmer?
And that's what the book, anyway, sometimes the reason why people do things is not the reason you get. But it's to show that you will do it, but, you know, it will come full circle and you go back. The oppressed becomes the oppressor. That's the thesis behind Animal Farm.
It's an interesting read, though. But it's about the individual, and we have, you hear me come and say all the time, we have representatives. But the job which you're elected as a member of parliament is to be the representative of the people. You're not elected to be a minister. You're elected to be the representative of your constituency and of those people in that constituency. Nobody in a constituency, as far as I'm concerned, should have the problems that I'm hearing that come and express on brass tacks. Okay? Because they should be able to know, I can pick up my phone, I can call my constituency representative, and they can give me the assistance. Not pay my black bill, that's not what I'm talking about, but point me in the direction of the entity that is supposed to take care of my issue, whether it be welfare or what have you. Or in this case of this woman, let's say with the telephone, with the ramp, right? To write the letter on my behalf. And if they are too busy, any time that you become a member of parliament, you should have some person else with you that you can assign to take care directly of the issues in your constituency. Mm-hmm. So therefore, a constituency person should be able to know they can come to my office, and they will see a list of jobs that are available. They can relay their issue to my representative, or my person is there.
The person manning
and
your
that
office.
That person will call on their behalf to something. But the point in the matter is, I'm trying to get to you again with the story of Animal Farm. People become MPs, and they become ministers, and they do not do the job that they were elected to do. And as a government, as I said, the problem I have with this country is that the is so insidious, the slave mentality that is developed, the fear that is put in people. People, it is not people's responsibility to be trying to call the police to tell them what's going on either because of fear of retribution. I've spoken already, let's say, with respect to ZRs. And when I heard the chairman call in and say, oh, that we don't get people coming on these, from the ZR who have experienced loud music or whatever and making complaints, it is not their job to do that. You should have an inspector on traveling these things. And they're the people then that would then regulate and say, well, listen, I was on ZR, I heard the music, this is the fine. And what the chairman says, oh, well, we don't have inspectors. Get them. Oh, that is responsibility, NTW. I don't care. Do the job that has been that you've been elected to do.
So the gentleman also said that the authority don't have the authority to do certain things, but they, you know, he said that the regulations will be changed. I saw in the newspaper a couple of days ago that there are going to be further adjustments to the road traffic regulations, and perhaps on the
anymore, Mr. Johnson. As I said, that demonstration. Tell me, when 10 people turn up, because you got permission for 10 people, what happens if I'm a protester and I'm number 11 and I turn up? You look at me now and you deny me my right to protest? Because, oh, well, you know, they've got 10 people already.
In that manner? Now you say you can't protest in another manner?
This is a democracy. I want my freedom.
No, sir, sir, you see, hold on, sir, you know. I think you know well enough, right, that your freedoms also have with it responsibilities, and we, you know, I mean, I have the freedom to drive, sir. But you open the road and you tell me don't go down? Okay, let me tell you what, right? Sir, let me tell you what. You've had the conversation. Thank you very much. Have a good morning. I really don't understand why people don't want me to have a conversation. If you don't want me to have a conversation, call this Brass Talk, and John will just put the call in. You will say what you want to say. He'll take you out, and somebody else will go in. Sir, I have the freedom to drive. But to be able to drive, I have to sit a test. I have to pass a test because that's the regulation. If you tell 10 people you could protest and you're number 11, don't join the 10. Go on the other side of the road. If they tell you don't have permission to protest, then you have a challenge because you have to have permission to protest or to march. There's a gentleman who's gone and stood up in Broad Street with placards stating things about the current Prime Minister Barbados. I haven't seen him being arrested for doing so. A gentleman went and stood up in front of Light and Power by himself with a placard because he wanted to protest something with Light and Power. I didn't see him arrested. I didn't see anybody kneeling in his neck. So if you have permission for 10 and you're number 11, go on the other side of the road. Walk up and down. I remember some years ago when the hotel workers went on strike and they were picketing. They were told, don't block the highway. So they walked on one side of the highway. When there were no cars coming, they crossed the road. They walked in front of the hotel. No cars were coming. They walked and went to the other side. And they protested in front of the hotel without blocking the highway. They found a way to do it. Oh, and they were also told, don't block the entrance. They didn't either. But if you're walking across the entrance, you know, to get to the other side, you have to pass in front. So you do it one by one every 3 minutes, 4 minutes, so nobody would say that you're standing and blocking the entrance or the highway. There are ways to do things. We intelligent people, we think. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir, how are you?
Pretty well today, sir, and I want to thank God.
Again, a little worried about you, you know. You're not singing as strong as you used to. You okay, buddy?
I'll be honest with you, Mr. Johnson. In and out.
Okay. I am a little concerned. There are times I hear a little cracking in the voice, you know, that get me a little worried.
And thanks to God that there is a program such as this that you could at least concert yourself to and talk to a moderator or moderators who understand exactly how you've known me, so you at least assessing my situation by my voice.
Yes, sir. Trust me, the only thing I do here is sit down and listen, right? People don't think so, but I got headphones on. All I do is listen. I can hear a difference, sir.
I call you. I'm supposed to continue discussion with you, but I want to break on and come in on another matter. The position here is that the lady who is the amputee, I think you need to check with either urban or rural. It is going to be a faster situation.
I'm going to
with the help of the Diabetes Association. Mm-hmm. If it's housing authority, it's going to be a little bit. She might be living in a housing authority house, but I have known for a fact that the work between rural and urban, in place of building ramps, is fast track. So I would appreciate that. That could be an angle you could take.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Now, I want to come to the point of a situation here, Mr. Johnson. First, let me extend my condolence to him. And now is the best time. And that is the life of a man called Ralph Johnson. There's a lot of things that have been said about Ralph in his eulogy. And a lot of things that have been left out. Some you might know of. Some you might not know of. Some I know of because of association, and some that I believe the public of Barbados will never know. I'm saying this, the area of entertainment promoter and the area involved as far as being involved in entertainment was not capitalized. Ralph has done so much for entertainment in Barbados. From way back in the 70s, when he first started to manage the Merry Men there on Cheapside. People might not remember that. When he first started to assist the Merry Men in developing RAC, Robin, Emil, and Chris Stridier. When he did so much with the Merry Men to advance Barbados in Canada and through the Caribbean as a unit for the promotion of Barbados when we were in the early days of our tourism. Ralph has been responsible for several shows that came to the National Stadium that people really and truly don't know. For example, one of the shows I would always remember that was produced by Ralph Johnson was Tomorrow's Children and Sparrow John Jones and Sparrow. One might not remember the show between Sparrow and Kitchener. There are several other shows that I could refer to and several involvement of Ralph in the area of entertainment that I believe to be highlighted. Now,
wasn't he also for a time, I think, managing Sand Pebbles and one of the others as well?
As a matter of fact, he was associated with entertainment that
in general.
He was managing Sand Pebbles.
Okay. Right. It was entertainment
was
in general.
And he was responsible for collaborating for the Merry Men, with the Merry Men, with a man called Danny Greenwich, in making the Caribbean Pebble Pot available Tuesdays and Thursday nights.
That was a real entertainment. We really lost a lot when the Pebble Pot went down here.
My promotion and the years I've been involved in promotion,
You worked with him?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. A lot of it has to do with the determination of Ralph as far as promotion is concerned. And it's taken a chance. It has been involved and the level of it. I remember slight detraction. I remember the John Jones Tomorrow's Children show, which I still got the photographs of that show at the National Stadium.
Yeah.
I remember Ralph involved in rally sports, himself and John Cole, in the early days of Bushy Park and the early days of rally. And I've got in my possession so much that I've got in my possession. Bullet coming through the hornpipe at Bushy Park. Mm-hmm. Bullet out front. I'm saying these things to say this, right? If we do not talk about these people, if we do not highlight these people's contribution, then people will think that they were only involved in a particular area.
Yeah.
But all the entertainers in Barbados, all of them, or Ralph Johnson, and all the promoters, Al Zeus, myself, Freddie, all of us, or Ralph Johnson, some gratitude for the things he've done for entertainment, that we can now say that Barbados is fully known across the world. And besides that, he was a human being. Besides that, Mr. Johnson, I know you would have met him on several occasions. He never taught anything serious, you know that. He never taught
I like the way you put that. I like the way you put that.
Right? So this morning I want to contribute to the life of a man called Ralph Johnson. To his family, his wife, as far as I'm concerned, to Emil. And though we're talking, kind of sort of move into that, to relate that I've seen something called Black Lives,
Matter.
I think the whole essence of it is lives matter. And I say that to say this, right? We have confused ourselves, Mr. Johnson, with a lot of things. We've confused ourselves with personalities. We've confused ourselves with this idea that color matters. Now I'm going to say to all of us who are black, that somewhere along the line, who we are blaming, we should not blame. We need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we doing the things that we're supposed to be doing to make this race comfortable? The last caller talked about murders in Barbados. Obviously, there are more black people in Barbados than there are white people. But there were several cases in Barbados where white people went before the courts in Barbados as well and were sentenced. You know that.
Correct.
And were sentenced.
Yeah, but you see, the problem, sir, is twofold. One, there is always the picture. And I use pictures because they say a picture paints a thousand words.
Sure.
Pictures of yesterday, I think someone raised it. If it was not yesterday, it was the day before. I think it was with David when they talked about, or it was with Joanne, when they said pictures of black men in handcuffs while white men were not wearing handcuffs, where you see the end of cases involved with black people, but you don't hear what's the status or the end of the cases involved with people of another race. Lives matter. And
that's,
I like that statement, but I want to say this to you. The important thing, though, is to understand that while lives matter, don't put a value on it. Don't put a price on it. I think what happens too often is that we put a price on life. You know, and right now, I said to somebody, I think this senseless killing of young men mean that they no longer value their lives. It don't mean anything to them. You know, I could dead, so what? Seems to be the attitude. It is unfortunate, though, that we still have not been able to say these are the people who are responsible for fueling this proliferation of guns. These are the people we've held who've been behind the gun trade. This is what we've done. These people have been brought to justice. I find it a little unnerving when we say, you know, we held this person for shooting somebody, but the gun wasn't recovered. So where it went, it evaporate. A man put 8 bullets into somebody and then the gun disappears.
We had
a situation, remember the one with the young lady in the churchyard with a gun in her bag that fell out? You know,
that's right.
They're just things like that you ask yourself, what's happening here?
You know, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
One of the things I pledge myself with is to have conversation with you. And I will treasure these conversations for a long time going to be on this earth. Now, I say that to say this. If we are supposed to make a difference in this world, mm-hmm. we have to change our behavior pattern.
Correct.
Both women and both men.
Yeah.
I say that to say this, right? We have some of the most beautiful people in this country, women in terms of the looks, and some men in terms of the physical setup.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for us to copy anybody to move through to this world.
Amen.
There's no need. I don't see why we should run into the hair shops that are run by people who don't represent none of us to buy pink wigs, blonde wigs, green wigs, and all types of things that don't make our color outstanding. I don't see why men should feel that they're more sexy by walking around and letting the box for show. I don't feel men
should
feel...
see the brand.
If we are supposed to move forward, we are supposed to change our approach. Barbadian women are too beautiful to take any advice from any person ever. And I say this. You see, white cars, you see white houses, all of these things have been made to influence us through the years. If you want to make a change about life, we have to love people, but we have to do things to suit ourselves. All of you who might have a white car, you know, I think you have a right to have a white car, but you also have a right to have some respect for your car. And you can find a little paint shop and drop a little black on it and make it look different.
My son calls it highlights.
Right? See?
There's some people say the black car too hot. But anyway, white car difficult to keep clean too.
I have five black cars in my life. And to be honest, they're the most beautiful thing.
They shine when they're clean.
They shine on a black car. So I'm saying to you people, who own white cars and who feel
Paint
that
black.
Or something, you might not be able to change the car now to a different color or find the paint shop.
Let me say this to you. I take what you say very seriously, and I treasure our conversations as well, and I hope that we're able to have a whole lot more. I would like that people like yourself, while you still have the energy and while you still have the passion to do it. And I know you have voluminous records. Mark, in the last couple of years, Voice of Barbados used to have a guy called Lindsay who used to do the jazz program. Uh-huh. Lindsay had music, jazz musicians, live recordings. I mean, a lot of work. Lindsay died on Holy Year's night, and his volume of music just, disappeared from the airwaves. You've had writers, musicians. We just lost Derry Atkins not too long ago. Again, all that knowledge, all that passion, just gone. You guys need to make sure that the knowledge you have, the experience you've had, is passed on. That it's somewhere. Yeah, I know there are people who don't like to research, there are people who don't like to read, but a few people will somewhere do it. You talk about the memories of the pepper pot. I know times when if you had Trade Winds or anybody at the Pepper Pot, getting up along the South Coast, back then when they had fewer cars in Barbados and people used to catch bus, used to be locked down in traffic. Now they got more cars on the road. I guess if you're still at the Pepper Pot, you won't get home till next week. But the Pepper Pot's gone. And the memories of those days are just what they are, memories. Alexandra's, all those places are gone. But the memories live on. Thanks for sharing with us. This is Dr. Brass Stacks.